Now he's going to begin in verse 8 to show that a ritual is wrong if the heart is wrong. And when he does that, actually, that's not a way of saying the same thing. God will put down on their lives, as we said, specific commandments. And the commandments that have to do with the man's relationship to man as well as God. And my friend, this idea today that we can serve Christ, even go through a little ritual of doing something, and we're not really right with him. The Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, you remember, and I think it's the most wonderful thing. You know what I would have done if I'd have been in his place after his resurrection and had come to Simon Peter? I would have bawled him out for denying me. And I would have told him what kind of a fella I thought he was. You know what the Lord Jesus said to him? He said, "Do you love me?" My friend, it's not the ritual you go through. I want to pass on to you something now with this tremendous thing before us that is very pertinent for us today. Some church members, to them, religion is a rite or a ritual, or a legalistic and lifeless form, a liturgical system marked by meaningless and wearisome verbiage. You know, there's a lot of religious garbage in our so-called conservative and evangelical churches today. There is a ceaseless quoting of tired adjectives and a jumble of pious platitudes. I hear this today. Let me pass on some of them to you. We want to share our faith. Most people don't have enough faith to share, friends. It's not your faith that you share about how wonderful you are or what wonderful things God did for you. You witness to Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did for you. You're not sharing anything, but we use that. And now we talk today in salvation. Commit your life to Jesus. Commit your life? What do you mean? Well, they say yield your life to him. Do you think he wants your life? He says our righteousness, even our so-called good deeds, are filthy rags in his sight. What are you going to do, send him your dirty laundry? God doesn't want your dirty laundry, my friend. We've gotten a habit of using words that are taking away the real meaning of the gospel. And here's another word that sure is being worn out today. The tread is really becoming thin on the word love. And that's a high word of Scripture. And it's been worn out on the freeway of present-day usage. It's been emasculated of its rich, vital, virile, and vigorous Bible meaning. It's been degraded to the level of a bumper sticker that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." And a fella in a little car the other day, I noticed people ahead of me were honking and going around him. He was driving very slowly in the fast lane on the freeway. And car had to detour around this. And I came up and I thought, well, I'm going to honk at this fella. And then I saw the sticker. The sticker said, "Honk if you love Jesus." And I went around him and I gave him a look. And I felt like if I could have got to the place where I could have spoken to him, I would have told him that if you love Jesus, you don't run around honking your horn. If you love Jesus, you're going to live a life of obedience to him and you will be courteous to other people. Well, may I say to you that today there's a great deal of churchianity that's bland and bloodless, tasteless and colorless. It's devoid of the warmth and feeling. There's no personal relationship with Christ that is meaningful and productive. It's like that liberal, he said it made him sick to hear people talk of a personal relationship with Christ. Well, I'd sure make him sick if he listened to this program, because that's the thing you have to have, my friend, is a personal relationship with Christ, and your ritual and your liturgy is not worth a snap of your fingers unless it's got a life that is related to Jesus Christ. Now, may I move on? If there's no deep yearning for a life that's well-pleasing to him, no real study of his word no stimulating desire to know His Word, no real study of the Word, not excited about the Bible and the Word of God. Church membership for a great many people today in certain churches, it's just like a young man falling in love with a furnished apartment and marrying an electric stove and a refrigerator and a vacuum cleaner and a garbage disposal and a wet mop. That's just about what it means. I heard of a maiden lady years ago who was asked why she had never gotten married. And she gave this very interesting answer. She says, well, I have a stove that smokes, I have a dog that growls around the house, and I have a parrot that cusses, and a lazy cat that lies around all day loafing and then's out half of the night. Says, why do I need a husband? May I say to you, that's the kind of a relationship that a great many folk have to God and to Christ today. And yet they have a ritual in which they jump up and down and run all around. But it's meaningless. Let's stop playing church today and start loving Christ and living for Him. I want to share with you right now two of the most remarkable letters that I've had in many a day. The first one comes from a little town in Tennessee. And I'm not going to identify it because I do not want to identify these people. They've written wonderful letters. Listen to this. I discovered your program out of Memphis only about 6 months ago, just when I needed it most. Isn't that just like our lovely Lord? I am a born-again Christian, only 2 years old. That's really something for a 55-year-old grandmother to have to admit. My husband is a retired, regular Army dentist. Heart patient. We moved 33 times in 26 years before retiring on this little farm here in the boondocks. We played church. I even taught a women's Sunday school class, and my husband was a deacon. I can't speak for him, but all I had was head knowledge and very little heart knowledge. And the young minister in the church where we have gone for 14 years is so liberal, he thinks the belief in the virgin birth unnecessary and sees no conflict between transcendental meditation and Christianity. We stuck it out for a year and then left the church. I would be less than honest to say I don't miss a church home since I've had church homes like that. Now, will you listen to the other letter? It comes from Southern California, and I'll not identify the place. And this is a very remarkable letter. Well, you'll hear it carefully. I am a wife and mother under 30, and I've been a Christian since I was 3 and a half. I've often thought of writing, but didn't think I had anything meaningful to say. Well, I've changed my mind. Several years ago, I knew a lady quite well who was constantly pushing your program at me. This lady was a terrible housekeeper, had an unhappy husband and marriage, and 5 unruly children. But she listened to her Christian programs from morning till night. Naturally, I associated her fanaticism with you and would not listen. During the past 3 years, however, I've been listening to you weekdays and sometimes on Sunday before church, and I found you to have a rare gift and so on. I'm certainly glad you dedicated your work to Christ and so on. Now, I'm dropped down. I love the study of the Word. I get so much from your theology and your knowledge of the Scriptures. I wish that I could find a pastor locally who preached as well. And by the way, there are several men in her area, and we're going to let her know about them, that do lots better than I do, and I can assure you that. They're young men who are expositors. Now, will you listen? Our time is so short, and I'm glad you're filling each minute with the vital news of God. I wish I could have seen past that lady's disorderly life a long time ago. God bless you in your work, thou good and faithful servant. I want to say to you, friends, here was a woman. Oh, listen to all the Christian programs, and a fanatical Christian, and had a home and a life that was a disgrace to the cause of Christ. My friend, a ritual is no good for a person like that. And there's nothing wrong with a ritual. If you're right with God and you love Jesus Christ, I still love the story of the three bears that the little girl. You remember that I've told this before on this program. Their mother was having guests for dinner and sent her upstairs to go to bed early. And she gave her instructions. She knew how to undress and put on her gown and her pajamas and get down on her knees and have her prayer. And so the next morning, why, the mother asked the little girl at the breakfast table how she did, said, fine. Says, did you say your prayers? The little girl says, well, kinda. She says, what do you mean, kinda? Well, she says, I got down on my knees to say that memorized prayer I got, and it just occurred to me that maybe God got tired of hearing the same thing all the time. So I just crawled into bed, and I told him the story of the three bears. My friend, you know, I think God enjoyed that evening. That precious little girl already sensing that there's something wrong with the ritual when the heart is wrong. And the ritual can be all right. And I think God listened to the story of the three bears. I wish that some church services today could be that interesting, by the way. And I think it would get God's attention. Why all these problem churches today? Why all these problem Christians today? Oh, I'll tell you why. It's because, my friend, that we go through a rite, we go through a ritual, we perform a liturgy, and I don't care, even we in fundamental churches open with the doxology and close with the benediction, and we do have something in between, and we feel like we've been to church. Really? Have we? Have we been drawn to the person of Christ? Do we know him? Do we love him? And friends, if you do that, you can go through any ritual you want to. You can stand on your head, and that'll be all right if you're right with the Lord. Now, friends, there's still a very mooted question for people today. Should I go through this ceremony, or should I do this and do that? Now, I believe that certain ceremonies, certain rituals are important. I think that there are two sacraments in the church, and I believe that they're all important. One is baptism, and the other is the Lord's Supper. And I think they're all important. But the important thing is, baptism is believer's baptism. And I think the emphasis should be taken off of the mode and put on the heart of the one being baptized. Are you born again? Now, I personally believe in immersion, although I was raised in another church, but I have been both sprinkled and immersed. I can't miss, as you can see. My wife was Southern Baptist, and she's been immersed, and she still thinks that that's pretty important. And I said, it sure would be embarrassing for you if you and I get up there and we find out it wasn't immersion, it was the other, and I've had the other, and you haven't. Well, I say that facetiously. I say it for this reason, as important as the sacraments are, and I believe in them. But I want to say this, they're no good unless the heart's right. Baptism is no good unless, my friend, you've turned to Jesus Christ and you have a real personal relationship with him and your sins have been forgiven. And I think that the Lord's Supper is absolutely meaningless for a great many people. It'd be better if they didn't go through with it. But if your heart's right, it's absolutely important. It was Lang who made this statement. He says, God's eye of grace and our eye of faith meet in the sacraments, the rituals of the church. I go along with that. That's wonderful. And therefore, that makes this section all important. And in the first, we saw that the ritual is right when the heart is right. You see, before the captivity, God judged Jerusalem when the heart of the people was far from him, though they went through the rituals. You see, ritual is right when the heart's right. But when the heart's far from God, it's meaningless. And that's the reason that God said to them, should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity and its cities round about it? when man inhabited the Negev, that's the south, and the Shephelah, that's the plain country that's south also, and all of that was inhabited. Now, God says to them, very frankly, you went through the rituals back before the captivity, and I sent you into captivity. Why? The ritual had nothing to do with it. Their heart was wrong, and that was the thing that's important.